It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As Sandy Alcantara toes the slab, ninth pitch of the at-bat is the last one of the at-bat. First strikeout for Sandy, and it's the heater, one away.
Again, no problem with velocity and no problem keeping it up to Olsen. 99 upstairs by him.
You see what Ashcraft has done all the year. Really good start.
Twisted him like a pretzel.
But I just think that, you know, these left-handed hitters that have never faced Ashcraft before and they see that pitch. Look at the look that Carpenter gives him after the at-bat. Like, what is that pitch?
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Another Eno Saris appearance on Hit and Run, which makes me happy. Another Graham Ashcraft highlight on Hit and Run. Well, that's who the White Sox are facing this afternoon. As we talk baseball every Sunday morning in our unique two-team town, we get you ready for White Sox, Reds, and Cubs, Marlins alike. And Eno Saris joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Eno, good morning where you are. Good afternoon here. Thank you for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. What does the dog need? You need a minute to take care of that?
No.
You sure?
We got these two little Chihuahua dachshunds that we got during COVID, and so they're just not that great with people. The kids are having a Magic the Gathering party, so people are arriving. So.
Oh, my God.
Sorry about that.
That is phenomenal on so many levels.
So, yeah.
There's so many directions we could go down, but I'll stay on point, and I'll ask you why Sandy Alcantara's Stuff Plus numbers are still good, but his regular numbers are bad. What's happening to him and the Marlins? You know, because we just watched Edvard Cabrera. I love them. They're a power change-up machine or whatever the hell that pitch is that they all seem to be able to throw. But what's going on with Sandy at this point?
I think probably just a little bit of short season noise. But, you know, the one thing that is really interesting about the Stuff Plus model is that it was born with Hawkeye in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And its short life so far has been tumultuous. If you think about what has happened in baseball since 2020. 2020, COVID short season. 2021, we had sticky stuff enforcement in the middle of the season, which actually did change the movements and velocities of pitches on the field. This year in 2023, we've got the shift enforcement, which is changing the way the game is played. And if you think about what Sandy Alcantara does, he's really good at suppressing balls in play. He's not very good at striking people out. It's surprising that he doesn't strike out more given how good his stuff is. And so maybe we're seeing a little bit of a, you know, shift towards back towards we need to strike people out because we can't put people, defenders, in the right places to make these balls and plays out.
Understood. Stuff Plus, Location Plus, and Pitching Plus are all leaderboards now available on FanGraphs. We've kind of helped define them before and tracked them, and I can certainly tell folks more about that a little bit later on. But there's a reason that I specifically wanted to talk to you, because I was stunned to see this Cardinals thing happen. And now, of course, it's taken another level, somewhat distracting extra level of Wilson Contreras being removed from catching duties. But But, you know, to catch people up here a little bit, because you saw some of this coming, is this an institutional failure for the Cardinals' pitching infrastructure, or just some choices that they have made over the last couple of years that are now biting them in the butt at this point?
Yeah, I think they failed to be ahead of the curve when this stuff came down. I mean, they've had an approach that's worked for them for a long time, which is use a park that suppresses offense and a great defense, and then a pitch to contact staff. And then what happens, the ball this year is flying a little bit. It's a little bit more lively again. So we've got like the 2020 ball, not necessarily last year's ball in play, it seems. And so you get a livelier ball, and then you get shift restrictions, which sort of hamstring your defense. And then your team is getting a little bit older. So, you know, they took a step back on offense and a step back on defense, and it's all coming to a head. And also, you know, I'm not putting everything on Wilson, but Wilson is defensively not as good as Yadi. So that is part of the picture. I would say that it's really just a whole picture, though, that is about the sort of pitch to contact philosophy not being one that many other teams take, and for a reason. The batting average on a ball in play is around 300. The batting average on a strikeout is zero.
That's extremely sensible. In your piece preseason, you mentioned that the Cardinals pitching staff had finished the year last year with the lowest strikeouts per nine ratio in baseball and the lowest number of total strikeouts in baseball. So it's not as if people couldn't see this coming. And in the past 10 years, what are they, 21st in K rate, 18th in walk rate as a staff. But as you say, the success has been there. I guess what sent me to a new level of concern or fascination with it was when the former Cardinal pitcher, Paul Schwendel, who's now in the International League, chimed in with what their director of player development had told him within the system a couple years ago to stop trying to strike people out, to throw fastballs down the middle, have the hitters on base or out in three pitches. That was his direct quote. That's teaching a methodology that's going to get you killed in the big leagues.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, I've heard similar. I haven't necessarily heard the throw down the middle, but in fact, there are a lot of people who are all about throw it down the middle with nasty stuff, you know, so they're all about, you know, throw 99, you know, tell Hunter Green to throw down the middle because he doesn't have great command and he has great stuff. So he's just going to get whiffed in the zone, you know. Mm-hmm. But you don't tell, you know, an 89 mile an hour guy to throw down the middle. So that part, I'm like, whatever. What really concerns me when I hear that is I heard some competing directives. So he said that his pitching coach said one thing, and then the director of player development said another thing. And that's something that in any business you cannot have. Like, competing directives leads to sort of organizational schizophrenia. What should I do? What my coach says that I see every day, or what his boss says, you know? And so that's, I think, a real problem. It's a problem across baseball. It's a tough thing to do. You have a lot of different coaches at different levels. You have a lot of different players. You're trying to broadcast your values as an organization. And some of the coaches say, oh, yeah, I'm totally on board. And then as soon as you're out of town, tell the players whatever they want to tell them. So, you know, there's a lot of that in baseball, but it's bad. And when you see that, you need to eradicate it, because the best thing for an organization to do is to know what it's about, and for everybody who works for the organization to know what it's about.
Yes, his second tweet that you're referencing says that the pitching coach would say, we were trying to strike people out. Incoherent strategy. Had pitching coaches with no idea how to use TrackMan. So, you look, this comes to you from a couple of perspectives here in Chicago. One is where we hope the White Sox are catching up to the rest of baseball in some of this stuff. The other is where the Cubs were so woefully behind when Theo and Jed got here, and the Cardinals were the standard bearers. So it seems like the Cardinals might be behind the Cubs on this stuff. And if that's true, it might be a big bust that makes a slow turn in this regard.
Yeah, I think that's a real good analogy. I think the White Sox are trying to make the turn. And in fact, I think this story about the Cardinals is there's some evidence of trying to make the turn, right? There was a TrackMan there. You know, there was a coach who said, let's strike people out. But there was some organizational inertia, I think, that definitely exists in a lot of places. And I think that that's what's happening with the White Sox. There are elements of that organization, elements of that leadership who have a more old school approach, elements that have a more new school approach. You're trying to blend the two. A lot of times they do come into conflict. And so I think it's been a little bit tough for them to develop, you know, young hitting and pitching. I mean, they've, for example, the White Sox are always at the bottom of the league in chase rate. They're always chasing outside the zone. And as a hitter, the slugging percentage on pitches outside the zone is like 250. And on inside the zone, it's like 450, you know? And so, you know, you're just putting yourself in a bad position when you lead the league at swinging at bad pitches. And I don't know if that's like an acquisition problem or a coaching problem or what it is, but it is a problem. It is part of why the White Sox underperform the talent you see on the field, I think.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. Talking with Eno Saris from The Athletic here on 670 The Score. You know, it's interesting. Lance Lynn was on A.J. Pruszynski's podcast a couple of weeks ago and kind of tried to make what sounded like an excuse. And you know, obviously he's trying to defend his young hitters, but said that the young hitters are dealing with some new concepts that they're trying to pick up. And I've been trying to dig in and figure out what he's referring to. I know they have some new tech and a new extended batting cage. I've seen it for myself just outside the clubhouse. I do feel like that Rick Hahn and Pedro Grifol, some combination of them, are trying to teach some of these guys. Luis Robert's 25. He chases more than anybody in baseball, as you say. Mm-hmm. You know, but like imagine. It can to 25-year-old, a 26-year-old, imagine...
Who's played for a long time.
Who's played for a long time and has been molded in a way where he's been allowed to be himself his entire professional career, perhaps. Asking them mm-hmm. to learn this stuff is incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I think you might have a better chance with someone like Andrew Vaughn. I mean, not just that he's, I don't know, he may not only be a year or two younger, but you're coming from a place of good plate discipline with him. And I think that you just want with Andrew Vaughn to lift the ball to the pull side a little bit more. He's got a very much a sort of travel, let it travel oppo approach. And if he can put those two things in his bag, I think Andrew Vaughn may have more upside than almost anybody as a hitter in that lineup. And, you know, coming from a college environment here, you know, I know his coaches in college. I know that they were working with Rapsodo and TrackMan in Cal. So he's a little bit more used to maybe some of those some of the data, at least, than some of the tech. With Luis, I don't know. I think sometimes you got to let a person be who he's going to be, and you had to the real tough thing of coaching is finding a way just to help someone be the best version of themselves they can be. Like Luis is never going to be Andrew, you know what I mean? He's never going to have that same approach. But if you can say, okay, we love your aggression, but we really want you to target your aggression maybe on high pitches. If you like Adrian Beltre told me, if you target your high pitches, the low pitches look crappier, you know? So if we just like, hey, let's just target the high pitches and the low pitches will look like they're really far away. So then you won't want those. So there's little things you can do to help people. I have seen some evidence of the White Sox changing things. Pedro is, I think, a part of that. Sam Mondry Cohen was a former director of analytics who's now on the coaching staff. So, you know, they're trying to do some stuff. But, again, like you say, organizational inertia, this used to be one of the very worst organizations when it comes to sort of data and tech and you know, progressive player development policies. And they're trying to move it around, but it takes a while. It's a big organization.
Eno Saris is here with us from The Athletic. All right, so we're looking at some of the buy low bats in your piece from the other day and trying to figure out who you might be ready to buy on. Like, and so me thinking about my bench in my fantasy league and who, and maybe, right? Or whatever it is. But the truth is, there's a couple of locals of interest in there, one of them being Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu's numbers in Houston are horrifying. Did the White Sox make the right call there? Is he cooked? What's going on?
You know, the weirdest thing about him is he's really been declining against the fastball for 3, 4, 5 years. Like, it's really been a steady decline against the fastball. And so that would tell you that his bat speed is declining. And again, he's setting a new low against fastballs. One thing, though, I did a little subquery on that and looked at the fastballs over 95, and he's slugging over 500 on those. So I was like, I don't know what that means. Somebody said, well, what if he's just cheating on the really fast fastballs, and that's making him worse against everything else? Because he really is. He's swinging and missing more than you'd think from him. He's striking out more. He's just not hitting the ball in the air enough. And so it's really coming to a head. And at some point, you know, he's projected to be the biggest bounce back in baseball, I think, or top three at least. And so you'd say, okay, well, the projections say he's going to get back to where he is. The older you get, the less you can actually depend on a projected bounce back. And in fact, age 32 is right around the age where projected bounce backs don't occur as often. That's where the projections become less reliable.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. Where are you on what the pitch clock is doing to the health of pitchers? I know you were part of that article at The Athletic about, you know, which included Max Scherzer portending doom. And I don't know whether he's portending. Is he just portending doom for himself? Is he talking to himself here? I don't know. But like, do you buy that old starters or out of shape starters are potentially in trouble?
I don't think it's just old and out of shape. I think just generally, here's the thing. We have the highest injury rate among starting pitchers and pitchers since we've started tracking injury rate like that. So there is evidence that there's a high injury rate going on right now. But there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. You know, like there's the sticky stuff enforcement. And Tyler Glass now is saying he has to grip the pitch, you know, the ball harder. You know, there's the fact that we're throwing the ball harder than ever every year. And again, we're throwing it a hair harder than we did last year. And, you know, velocity is actually a direct line to elbow stress. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on. But I will say that Dr. Mike Sun, who works for the Cubs now, you know, he wrote for us at The Athletic in fairly convincing fashion before this all went down that the pitch clock would lead to more injuries. And he, in fact, cited his own study and another study, peer-reviewed academic studies that show that if you limit the time between pitches, you increase fatigue. And anybody knows fatigue is related to injury. So I have a feeling that we will break all the records all year long when it comes to pitching injury. And it's not just the pitch clock, but it's maybe the pitch clock plus velocities plus you know, sticky stuff plus modern pitching philosophy about, you know, pitching as hard as you can when they give you the ball until they take the ball away from you.
Well, before we let you get back to watching the kids play Magic the Gathering, unless you yourself also get involved, I'm not sure.
Sometimes.
Okay. Before we let you get back to that, I have to call you out on this humble brag tweet. Just got DM'd by people on both sides of a trade offer, LOL. I love that. Is that... So is that – that's not a fantasy trade. These are people within organizations who
no,
you
– that was a fantasy trade.
See,
yeah.
I was hoping that, like, Jed's on one – Jed's on a DM over here. And
no, I do. Yeah. I do informally advise – I do, you know, have that sort of line of communication with a couple teams. But when you get to – that sort of level, you need to make sure that they're in different divisions and different leagues. So usually doesn't end up competing. But I did have a couple recommendations for free agents. And I, at one point, one team that I was talking to signed it, and the other team had wanted to sign him.
So I love that. That's
and it wasn't a big name, but he's pitching really well. And so I felt like, well, I get two chips for that.
Okay. It wasn't a big name, but pitching well. Michael Wach is off to a pretty good start, right?
Yeah. just no, but it wasn't him.
Okay. Right. Just a boy's got to try. A boy's got to try, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks so much for the time. Always appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
You got it. That's Eno Saris from The Athletic. It's 670 The Score. That's the dream, right? To have an insider from the front office reach out to you and say, hey, what do you think? You know, I told you, I know for a fact that Theo Epstein follows Eno Saris. He doesn't follow me, but he saw one time that Eno retweeted something of mine. I know that for a fact. So, you know. We can't all be followed by Theo, but Eno can. It's The Score. It's Spiegel here with you. Yesterday, an incredible anniversary of an amazing event, and it was celebrated at the ballpark, and I want to celebrate the player. We'll do that next before we get out of here for Cubs pregame on 670.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper. And people yell,
come on, move.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Yesterday at Wrigley Field, it was the 25th anniversary of Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game. An incredible, incredible moment. And it was really cool to have it celebrated. Drew Smyly was the pitcher yesterday, and he didn't have a great day. But after the game, he talked about seeing Kerry Wood as he was in the bullpen before the game.
To your point on the pitching, what's done this year in the confidence, just as an aside, did you notice all the Kerry Wood ceremony stuff, and then that Fergie was in the house with his bobblehead and all that?
I knew it was like the anniversary of Kerry Wood's game, so when I was warming up, I saw him on the field and threw out the first pitch. So when I was warming up, I was like, hey, maybe I can strike out a bunch of guys today. But unfortunately, that wasn't the way it worked out.
That's hilarious from Drew Smyly. By the way, Drew Smyly said that once the Marlins were not swinging at his knuckle curve, he wasn't sure exactly what to do. This is pitching, man. It's always interesting to me. It's baseball, really. It's like, boy, he just dominated him last week. Why wouldn't he dominate it again? Because they scouted. They looked. They met as a team. They talked. Said, hey, let's not swing at that. And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, yeah, troubles. So it's just the way it goes. Now he's got to take the next step for the next time he sees them, or maybe just have the next step ready for anybody, because that'll be scouted a lot around the league and word gets around, obviously. But Kerry Wood was really good doing all sorts of media yesterday. Said before the game he was thinking back to his bullpen that day 25 years ago. He couldn't throw a strike in the bullpen. At the end of the bullpen session, he just flipped the ball to Phil Regan and said, well, who knows? Good luck, everybody. I don't have any control of it. And then he struck out 20 guys. After the game and doing a whole bunch of media and stuff, he got an offer from Michael Jordan to come and hang out at the Bulls playoff game that night and be in their locker room and sit on the sidelines and courtside and just hang out. And he was tired and he said no. And he regrets it. Yeah. Yeah, you should regret it. So anyway, all of that was backdrop for the celebration of the thing. And it was pretty cool to see. Earlier this year, I did a thing, the top 30, my 30 favorite ball players from the 30 baseball seasons I have been in town. And we did it every day on Parkins and Spiegel at 4:45. And it was really, really fun and gratifying to do. And it had my own proprietary metric scale, offense, defense, teammateship vibes, and memorable moments. And of course, memorable moments with Kerry, well, that bumped him up higher on the list than maybe some thought he should be. But whatever, it's my list, and he made the top 10.
Number 9.
Your guy, Kerry Wood.
How about Kerry Wood?
Yeah.
One of the best things in baseball, the young fireballer, the phenom that comes up. The dominance does not align with the inexperience. My first of the kind was Dwight Gooden and Roger Clemens, the first one in this town. I say phenom, I meant phenom.
Phenom.
Yeah.
I was like, forget it, he's rolling.
I'm having a day.
Phenom.
First one that I welcomed and experienced in full here was Kerry Wood. Texas, long and lanky.
Yeah.
Could throw it 100 like Clemens and Nolan Ryan before him. Drafted fourth overall in 95. We heard about him for a few years. He was wild. Led the minors in walks one year. But he threw hard. Didn't give up hits, supposedly. And then in 98, there he was. Every start was a happening. Let's watch the kid. And then the fifth start of his entire freaking career, he struck out 20. I was working that morning at Armitage Hardware. Then I hit the Chinese restaurant next door for lunch. And luckily, they had a TV, Danny. So I'm watching on the TV. And by the fourth inning, like, all right, this seems special. And then I went home and was home for the seventh and beyond. It was pretty damn special.
Guys are just kind of beat up a little bit mentally from being dominated all afternoon. It's probably one of those things where you're like, I wish this thing had ended before I got one more turn.
Everyone is standing, so it's dramatic. And I'm working with Ron Santo, and I said something like, Ronnie, it's only May, but it feels like it's a World Series game. It really did. It had that kind of drama, and Ron came up with a great line. He said,
and if this kid keeps pitching like this, we may be in a World Series.
One more curveball, and that should be about it.
Yeah, I don't know how he knew what I was going to throw. He must have knew my signs. He called it before I threw it.
So Sandy Martinez gets in that low crouch, puts the two down, and I just said, here comes the hook.
Here comes the hook! Got it! 20 strikeouts! He ties the Major League record! Unbelievable!
And that last pitch was just, I gripped my slider, slurve, or whatever that we were calling it at the time, and just threw it as hard as I could that way and spun it, and that was probably the best one of the day.
And to this day, I laugh at it when I see it because it was like a wiffle ball.
The next series, I think, in Houston, I think Derek Bell came over. We were laying around stretching, and he's like, hey, man, I just want you know I swung it down on purpose for you. You know, the last pitch kind of thing. And I was like, I know you did.
Best game score ever by the Bill James game score metric. Astros led the league in on-base percentage that year. Had four guys who hit 300, and Kerry Wood did that.
It was ridiculous. My buddy, Rick, who's a huge Cubs fan, he had the game on VHS, and we would re-watch the game. It was like the type of regular season baseball game that transcended, and for years, that game would like be on in the background, or if we're over there, we're playing pool or playing cards. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Oh, let's put the 20 strikeout game on in the background. But yeah, what you said earlier too of like, you gotta tune in to watch him.
Yep, yep, yep.
It was a thing.
13-6 with 233 strikeouts by early September, and he'd win Rookie of the Year. But it all had that feel of being a little too good to be true. The sliders were impossible. The crazy horizontal sweep threw across the body, and the shutdown in September. And the next year, there it was, Tommy John. Missed all of 99, struggled through a comeback in 2000. 01 looked like he was himself a little bit. 14 strikeout, one hit shutout that year, and he kept pitching. 28 starts, then 33 starts in 02. 33 in 2003, and he was all the way back when it's him and Pryor. You forget how good he was, perhaps. 266 strikeouts in 03 for Kerry Wood, most by any Cub other than Fergie Jenkins since 1900. Led all of MLB in Ks per nine, led all of MLB with the fewest hits allowed per nine. Of course, there's heartbreak, which drew him closer to the fans in the long run. 2004, the injuries returned. They didn't leave for like 4 years. Strained triceps, knee surgery, torn rotator cuff, elbow soreness. And remember, this dude slipped at his house after getting out of a hot tub, hurting his chest and his stomach. By 2007, he's a reliever, slowly gaining trust in one-inning stints and never going back-to-back. A free agent in 08, he decided to stay, turned down bigger deals elsewhere. Loyalty and a desire to stay drew him even closer. And there in 08, he's an all-star as a closer. Seven Cubs on that all-star team. Kevin Gregg signed by Jim Hendry to be the closer. And Kevin Gregg is the guy, Jim Hendry says, Kerry Wood is done. He would never start again in the majors. Cleveland, the Yankees. Then for the 2011 season, took less money and years to come back. Family wanted to live here. Signed a one-year deal for 2012, but he was hurting too much, told the world he'd retire that May. And then May 18th, his final appearance with his son in uniform as a bat boy.
Well, it sure looks like this is going to be it. The final big league appearance for Kerry Wood. You saw him shake Lester Strode's hand in the bullpen. That's unusual. The 0-2, swing and a miss. He struck him out, two down. And again, the stuff looks really good, doesn't it? And that's going to be it. Jamie Quirk's coming out. We'll let the crowd take you to break. We're going to keep it right here. Wow, what a moment. And his son giving him a big hug. And a standing ovation. Well, there may be people out there who say, you know what? He looked like the Kerry Wood of old in that at-bat.
If you could give one player retroactively in this town full health, it'd be him. Be a Hall of Famer. Had the stuff to do it. But still, he ended up embodying what it meant to be a Cub, right? All the loyalty, the love for the place, the desire to be a part of it, even though they never won. Kerry Wood on offense, so hitting, fielding for pitchers, give him a 7, a 9 for pitching, a 9.2 for vibes, 9 for teammateship. I'll give him a 9 for memorable moments. So he's at 43.2. He's number 9 on the top 30. That's Kerry Wood, number 9 on my top 30, which was a great, fun project to be given a chance to do. And all of those are available in my Twitter bio, should you be interested. You can find a link to absolutely everything there. Full slate of games around MLB today. The morning game has already begun. It's the Orioles and the Braves. And then a whole bunch of games in warm-up, including Red Sox, Phillies, Twins, Guardians is a good one. Cal Quantrill against Joe Ryan, who's been real good for those opponents of the White Sox in the American League Central. The Yankees and the Rays, Garrett Cole on the mound for the Yankees. The Rays have the Yankees followed by the Mets this week. Pretty interesting week for the best team in baseball. The Blue Jays and the Pirates is in some rain delay over there. A little bit later on, a couple other good ones. The Brewers and the Giants today. And, of course, the Marlins and the Cubs right here on 670. The Score. Hayden Wesneski gets the start for the Cubs. Sandy Alcantara, the start for the Marlins. And there are some people in our control room who are considering betting on Matt Mervis to get his first big league home run against Sandy Alcantara. I don't want to say who it is, but his initials are Tyler Buterbaugh. So that should give you a little bit of a clue. Mervis is in the lineup playing first base and batting seventh. Hosmer is your DH today and hits fifth in this lineup. It's Horner at the top and then Swanson and then Ian Happ, Cody Bellinger. There's Hosmer against the ready Alcantara. Nelson Velasquez gets a start in right field. Then Mervis, then Madrigal at third, then Miguel Amaya, another start at catcher. So that means the bench has Seiya Suzuki and Trey Mancini. That's a pretty happening bench there. Some big bats and possibilities to go along with Tucker Barnhart. And who's the fourth bench player that Patrick Wisdom? Oh man, they got Wisdom, Mancini, and Suzuki on the bench today. Beware lefty relievers of the Marlins. Beware. For the Marlins, it's some of the same batch with Jacob Stallings as the catcher. Jorge Soler, who homered yesterday, he's got 7 homers on the year to go along with his 15 ribbies. And my guy, Jazz Chisholm. I love Jazz Chisholm. Just think that dude is super, super fun. Later on today, the White Sox and the Reds, we've got lineups there as well. I can tell you that Yasmani Grandal is the DH for the White Sox. In the absence of Eloy Jimenez, Sebi Zavala will be the catcher. He snapped an 0-for-14 slump yesterday. Tim Anderson, Andrew Benintendi, Andrew Vaughn, and Luis Robert at the top. And again, if anybody missed this, Luis Robert might have been embarrassed enough by the benching. Might have been. 13 of his 23 plate appearances since the benching. The man has been on base. So, look, tough goings for the White Sox, for the Cubs on a beautiful early May weekend. The vibes remain elite. The atmosphere has been incredible at the ballpark. You will hear it pop off of your radio or the Odyssey app when Zach Zaidman has your pregame in a matter of moments before Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer give you the game. Thank you to our guests today on the show. Eno Saris from The Athletic, Cole Wright from the Marquee Sports Network, and Nick Madrigal. Thanks to Sean Sears for doing such a great job. Thank you to Tyler Butabaugh for helping out. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell for being here to help out with the Twitch stream as well. Have a great Sunday, everybody. I'm back tomorrow on Parkinson Spiegel at 2 on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.